And through that knowledge, they purified themselves, and thus, having purified with their beings, they came to me. Here the word me refers to not a particular manifestation of God, but the God who is the indwelling reality of everyone. So, when Lord says here that many being purified through this austerity of knowledge have come to me doesn't mean a particular personal form. Here it is to be understood that Lord is not saying that only worshipping Krishna, the human manifestation that appeared, that was born in India sometimes about 5,000 years before from now, about 3,000 years before the Christian era. It is not that manifestation is meant, but the divine principle, that is the reality of all of us. It can manifest in various different forms. One can worship that divinity in different forms. And that is now in the next verse being clarified. Also is being clarified that there are various ways in which people approach this divinity. There is not just one way. There is a variety in human constitution, and therefore the ways of worship differ. The purpose of worship also becomes different. And God is the receiver or the object of all worships, but not exactly in the same way. Everyone approaches God, but everybody's God or the mental idea of God is not the same. And this point is clarified in the next verse, and that is the 11th one. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tans tathaiva bhajamyaham mama vartmanu vartante manushya partha sarvashah. The 11th verse of the 4th chapter. By whatsoever way men worship me, even so do I accept them. For in all ways, O Partha, men walk in my path. Of course, here men includes women too. It is not a gender-specific word. It is in different ways people worship God. Our desires are different. Although we all worship, it is, and God is all-powerful, so one may just think that why God should not remove the ignorance of everyone immediately and bring the ultimate blessedness and peace to everyone at this instant. It is, if God can do that, that will be great. Why God wants to make us run in this world and suffer for that? And He should just remove the ignorance of everyone in a jiffy, and thus all will be illumined and everything would be so nice. Many a times this question is asked by people. This is a very practical question. Sometimes it is asked to give a rationale for not being very particular in one's devotional practices. Sometimes this justification is given to say that, well, what can I do? I understand, that I should practice devotions more regularly. I should read the scriptures regularly. I should spend more time and give more attention to my meditations or my worships or whatever is really good for my spiritual upliftment. I understand that, but what to do? God does not turn my mind in that direction. I want to do the worship and all that, but what to do? God turns my attention to the ball game, so I have no choice, instead of meditating, I have to watch the ball game. What can I do? Because God has turned my mind to ball game. Why God does not turn my mind to Him? And thus I can think of God, I can be more regular in my meditations, I can pray with more intensity. It is all there, but in the scriptures I know. But what to do? God does not turn my mind. This is an argument, this is an excuse given by many people. That after all, God should have made the arrangement. It is He, you say that God is all-powerful. And the argument is nice, no doubt. But it doesn't serve any purpose for us. So, Lord says that, why do I not bring, and the onus is not exactly on me. People want different things out of ignorance. And so they get that thing, and they, whatever they aspire for, accordingly they worship. And thus they get that, and also they get the results of that too. It is I again am referring to that wonderful minister in the Concordia Church that they told that a nice example, that God as law is one thing and God as love is another thing. When you approach God as law, then what is it? Law means whatever you ask for, you get. So he gave a nice example that when I go to a restaurant and give order to the waitress doesn't edit my order. Whatever I had asked, she doesn't say that, well, you are diabetic, you should not be eating these many sweets. She doesn't say that, well, you have too much of cholesterol, why should you eat so much of hamburger. She doesn't say that, she just, whatever I have ordered, she brings. And brings the bill of that too. So God gives us whatever we ask, and we have to pay for that too. But when we get the bill, or when we get the bad effects of eating wrong type of food, when we suffer for that, then we blame God. Oh God, so much of pain, so much of suffering, and so many such problems are coming to me. Why did you create all these problems for me? Well, you placed an express order for that. What can be done, So it is you who order, and so you get. So it is like that. That is the law of karma. As you sow, so you reap. So that God is that law also. Through devotion, the God becomes different. Then that is this loving God, then it is God won't give you what you ask for. Then you become irritated at that God. Now, what is this God? I asked one lady, she is writing me many times, that why, you see, it is God is not giving me this and this and this. For so many times I have prayed, it is not working. You pray for me and it will happen. Please pray for me so that I will get this promotion in job or this and this. Many things. So why I am not getting this? Then the answer is, well, God won't give you everything. If something is not conducive for you, if something is not good for you, like a conscientious parent doesn't give everything that the children ask. They give not what is demanded by the child, but what is good for the child. Sometimes when the child becomes too restless, can't be contained, just keeps on crying and crying and crying, then the parents give a little bit. Okay, take it, and now probably you will understand that you get the bad effect of it. That also, it comes with it. So, after that bad effect comes, then the child understand that what I was asking for was not right for me. So, this is how the training comes. This is how the evolution comes. That is why not everybody keeps on seeking for the God as such. But most of us seek from God, not God as such. Our love is not much towards God. God that gives me this, that, and so many things. So, if that is not being given, then what kind of God he is? What was that God doing when that Holocaust happened? It is what God was doing when that 9/11 happened. What business God was engaged in? So, it is such questions therefore come. That we have an idea that this and this should happen. Something that happens that is nice for me, I feel God is doing wonderful thing. If something that is not liked by me, immediately my perception of God becomes different. So, this is a God from whom we seek. And there is the God who is being sought for the sake of God. But that evolution takes time. A person has to evolve mentally for that. So in this verse, Lord is telling that people have worship in firstly in different ways. They do not worship me in just one form. There are various ways in which they one divine principle is worshipped. This is a great principle to be understood, that there is no regimentation in Vedanta. The philosophy of Vedanta, the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads, it has this principle of spiritual or religious plurality ingrained in it, that there is no one particular form of God that everybody has to respect and worship. The idea is not of tolerance. Tolerance is a wrong idea. Tolerance means, you are wrong, but I still tolerate you. It is I don't like you sitting near me, you smell horrible, but still I can tolerate you. That is the religious tolerance, that word is like that. That I don't like you, but okay. It is But this idea is not tolerance. This is the acceptance of all various paths as the true paths towards God. And Sri Ramakrishna used to say, as many faiths, so many paths. People have different faiths, different ideas of God, and they can go by any of them according to their constitution, according to their understanding. They go by different paths and they reach the same ultimate principle. One cannot say that this is the only form that everybody has to worship. Everybody has to accept Jesus, everybody has to accept say Buddha, or everybody has to accept Zoroaster. No, it is not necessary. You can accept anybody, any particular form of God that is you feel comfortable with, connected with, you can take up that and go ahead. So he says here that in whatever different ways people worship me, I respond to their worship exactly in the same way. If you tell everybody, no, don't ask anything of God, it is wrong to seek anything from God. It is true in the ultimate sense, it is true that God alone is real. Why should you ask some trifles that give me a little money or give me some other things? Why should you seek those things from God? But when people do not have that understanding, they have to be uplifted to that level gradually. And they seek, yes, I want money, O Lord, give me money. Lord says, okay, fine, I will give you money. There is, the money comes, with that comes the bill, with that comes the troubles that come with money. A person then understands something better than that. It is for many people, initially the understanding does not go beyond those things, because they aspire for the sense pleasures, that whatever brings pleasure in this world, a little bit of that we seek. And the abstraction of all that is money. Why people seek money is because of this ingrained belief that money can buy everything. I do not have this today. Look, that my neighbor or the other person are living in the corner. What a nice life he is living. Because he has lot of money. What I need is money, and then my all desires will be fulfilled. So that is money being abstraction of all that a normal person seeks. One goes on seeking money. And that is, see how much importance one gives to that. It is whatever gives more money, people jump at those things. It is the lotteries. It is all common knowledge that rarely anybody may win the lottery. But millions of people, they put money in it. It is why? All the, because we feel that it is important something, if I get money, that will be great. So, our ideas therefore are limited to that level. So people worship God for all those things. Then there are other ideas in our mind. They are connected with other, this well-being, physical well-being, that let there be no disease in my body or in my near and dear. They all be free from disease, free from old age. Because old age is also a disease. But then how can a person grow if one become free from old age? There is no growth. It is, one grows means one becomes old. Even a child is asked, how old are you? Nobody asks the child, how young are you? It is the English language is like that. What is your age? The term, the expression is, how old are you? So everybody is old, maybe 5 year old or 6 year old or 50 years old or 100 year old. Everybody is old. So, but we don't want to be old. And so we pray to God that, O God, may I never die. And if that is not possible, let no disease come to me. And such are the prayers. And Lord says, okay, you ask for that, you get that, and you get the corresponding results, that what you are praying for, you get corresponding things, and the bill for that also is given. So, it is the same Lord gives all these things according to one's desires. And according to the form, different forms liked by people, they worship that God. There is a story that there is a temple of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. A very famous temple is there. So, Hanumana, the devotee of Rama, he worshipped God but in the form of Rama. So Rama and his divine consort Sita, they are the deities for this monkey god Hanuman. So he was coming to see, to pay obeisance to divine in this temple in Vrindavan. So the Lord there is in the form of Radha and Krishna. So the Lord there is putting on a child's dress and is holding flute, and there is the Radha there that... So, when Hanuman was approaching, Krishna told her, hey, this dress, this form won't do for him. He won't accept us in this form. Come on, change quickly. Here I put down my flute and hold the bow and arrow. And the Rama that was first seen by Hanuman was with bow and arrow. So, I become Rama, you become Sita. Then only that Hanuman is going to accept us, otherwise not. So, that is the idea is, yes, the God takes different forms according to the different needs. So it is the same divine is worshipped through somebody may worship God in a particular form. Somebody would choose, like Muslims, they would not choose any particular image or particular form, but they go to Mecca, that becomes a kind of image or a symbol. Then there are others who worship a particular book, that a book is kept like this Bible or Torah, or they are kept in a chest, very sacred. It is, that becomes that a symbol for them of the divine, and that is very good. It is, there are different ways in which one feels the divinity, the presence of God, and that is all acceptable. It is, there are different diverse ways of worship. One can worship according to one's beliefs, but the same one divine principle is propitiated through all this. And there are these different constitutions. Some worship God for different types of gains. Whatever we feel as our lacuna, whatever we feel as imperfection, we try to remove that imperfection by contacting the perfect. God, the perfection. Now that perfection gets related to us according to our idea of imperfection. If my idea of imperfection is that, well, I get this headache from time to time. Otherwise it is, things are perfect. Only I shouldn't have this headache. So God comes to that person in the form of the one who removes the headache. For somebody who is seeking to marry a girl, now the God comes in the form of one who arranges the marriage with that girl. So it is, God comes in various different ideas, different forms, depending on what we seek. So when our seeking becomes elevated, when we do not seek these things from God, and we may start seeking, say, O Lord, make my mind pure, make my devotion more towards you, then God fulfills that also. If we ask for nothing but God, then God fulfills that also. When we ask for nothing, we get liberated. As it is said that in the temple in Jagannath Puri, this is the Lord of the universe. I had told about that in some other class, that if somebody goes there, it is said that some desire comes to the mind and that desire gets fulfilled. But if no desire comes to your mind, then you are liberated. You get liberation there, because you are not asking for anything. No desire is there, and there is no bondage also for you. Desires alone are the bondages. So thus it is expressed here that whatever ways, different forms people can worship me, all these worships, they worship me in different forms. Then the next verse says that many people, most people, they worship, they according to their desires, the different demigods. The 12th verse, Kaṃkṣanta karmaṇām siddhim yajanta iha devatāha kṣipraṁ hi manuṣe loke siddhir bhavati karmajā. People seeking the fruit of actions worship the gods in this world, for in this world of men the fruit of action comes quickly. Now the psychological reason for why people do not seek the ultimate truth is being shown. We do not have enough patience. So whatever brings some quick results, we seek for that. We say that, okay, you know, that ultimate truth I will realize later. I have many more years to live. How one gets that conclusion baffles me. But, well, we conclude that I am not going to die so soon, and I have many more years to live, so I will go for that ultimate goal later. As if it is like a marathon. They plan for marathon, you know, we have to run, 26 or how many miles? So the seasoned marathon runners, they plan, you know, that for first 5 miles I will run like this, then last 1 mile I will just put all the energy, all my power will be put, and then last that sprint will make me win. I will reserve my energy, I will plan my run accordingly. So we also feel that this is, we have this marathon at hand, and as if we know how many miles still left, how much to run. So we feel now, first let me, that there is that drink available, let me spend time taking this drink, and then I will rest a little bit, and I have enough time to live, and when I become old, then I will take up for religion. I see people when they get old, then they go to church and all that sort of thing. So it is young people, why should you spend your energies going to church? There are better things we can do. It is, I would need to work for my PhD right now. God realization is the goal, no doubt, but it is the ultimate goal. My first goal is to get a PhD. Then my second goal is to get a good job. Then the third goal is to marry a suitable partner. Then the fourth goal is to find a right nice house. Then so many things, one after another, we keep on. Then when I become 75, then I will think of going to the church or to temple or whatever. I will think about it. I will go to church now also, but occasionally. Like somebody is getting married there, okay, I will go there. For all those things I will go, but it is, main business is right now to get PhD. So I will, let me do that first. So our ideas are just glued to what is, what are the visible results. So our efforts also are directed to that, and we worship those deities which give us that. Like I want a job right now, for getting the job I have to meet somebody and get some favors from the governor. So then the governor, effectively governor becomes my God there. I may not call him God, but effectively in my understanding, I approach the governor as the one who is going to give me what I am seeking. So if I should be in the favorable books of the governor, I should be, you know, propitiating this particular person, so that I get my job, I get my this thing, money and all that. So according to our desires, our and intensity of those desires, our gods get decided, and we worship them. Psychologically, if you see that those who don't believe in God, oh, I don't accept God, where is God? But we accept so many other gods. If the pleasure depends on wife, then wife becomes God, the one who brings pleasures, that is considered as God. It is the, so many, if the dog brings pleasure, then that dog becomes God, you see. It is whatever brings us what we seek, that becomes God for us. So that is what is told here. That, and why? Because we are short-sighted. If we analyze our actions, we will be able to see that. That whatever is immediate, whatever is immediately observable by us, we jump at that and feel that, well, let me have this first, the other things I will take care of maybe later. Later also we say, not that I will do it later, but maybe. It is, if at all I feel like doing it later, I will do it. It is, therefore, we do not evolve to that level. we evolve according to our aims. If my aim is to get a nice house, then my all efforts are directed to that. My evolution stays up to that. I get a house. And after that, maybe I will get some other desire. My evolution will go in that direction. But that is how our gods are. Our sights is limited. Whatever gives quick results right here, we go for that. These investments which give quick returns, I want that it is some investment after 50 years you will get the results. Who knows how is so long, I don't want to invest in that. It is something tell me that in 3 months it will make my money double. And so that is, we try to invest into those things, being very short-sighted. That is, being this, here the actions, whatever actions we do, these actions breed result right then and there. So, those deities which govern those actions, they become our gods here. And thus human beings are caught into this net of action and its bondage. The particular action becomes our god. I commit that action for pleasure. I say, okay, yes, I understand that my goal should be higher, but first let me finish this. Then from tomorrow, I will pay attention to the different higher goals. See how the mind cheats us. You know, that we all know that tomorrow does not come. In India, on the stores, they put this nice board that cash today, credit tomorrow. That it is because one should be polite to the customers. You know, if they ask for credit, you should not say that, well, we don't give credit, we need cash. But if you actually give credit, it is difficult because they may not pay back. So the wise shop owner put this board. And we don't say that we won't give credit today. We won't give credit today. Not that we will never give. Today you have to pay cash, tomorrow we will give you the credit. And tomorrow also they see the same board. So we cheat ourselves like that. That from tomorrow, you know. I want to keep my room tidy. Today I am too tired, say I can't do it. Tomorrow I will do it. It is, somebody told me that when do they wash the dishes, they stay together 4 or 5 people, so they have the dishwashing arrangements. So when do they wash the dishes? That when the sink is full to the hilt, now and nothing, now they cannot do without washing, when they are pushed to that brink, then. And when the life becomes impossible without doing the dishes, then they do the dishes. Till then, procrastinate. You know, okay, tomorrow, day after tomorrow, later on, and the life just goes away, seeking the trifles. It dawns later that what I had been seeking in life, these just trifles. Some little money, some little those things. There is a story in our Puranas, mythologies. A small boy, his name is Prahlada. Prahlada is a devotee of God, but has a very sharp, rational, penetrative mind. So he tells his friends in the school, that look, friends, we should be, you know, thinking of about our real good. What our efforts should be, our efforts should be directed to that which we do not get automatically. See, the pleasures and pains we automatically get here by just by having human body. Just by having the body, everybody gets pleasures and pains here. Who doesn't get, tell me? Who doesn't get pleasures and pains? Everybody. And whether you make efforts for that or whether you don't make efforts for that, see how penetrative is this analysis of this small boy. And whether you make efforts to get pleasures or whether you don't make efforts to get pleasures, by having the body you get pleasures. And even though you try to avoid all pains, can you avoid the pains? You cannot. Having the body, you ought to have pleasures and pains, and they are interdependent again. Without pain, there is no even understanding of pleasure. There is no feeling of pleasure without the corresponding pain. It is very interesting something. So, Prahlada says, these things come automatically. And it is only a fool who makes efforts for those things and which come automatically. Those things which we are going to get anyway, whether we put in effort or whether we don't put in effort, we are going to get it anyway. Like tomorrow is going to be Saturday. Do you have to put efforts in to get Saturday tomorrow? Since by the virtue of today being Friday, tomorrow has to be Saturday, even whether you want it or whether you don't want it. And do you need to put efforts to bring Friday, Saturday tomorrow or prevent Saturday from coming tomorrow? You can't do that. Suppose Saturday is the last deadline when you have to pay a debt, some balances to be paid. So you'd want to push Saturday away. Can you do that? It is going to come whether you want or whether you don't want, whether you put efforts, whether you don't put efforts, these things are automatic. So a wise person should not unnecessarily waste efforts in what one is going to get automatically. The efforts therefore should be directed towards that which does not come automatically, where our self-efforts make sense. And what is that? To realize one's divine nature. There we should put all our efforts. That is our real ultimate good. All other things, they come and go. They do not stay with us. They are just putting efforts down the drain. It does not bring us anything. So, this is therefore important to see that we may do these things, but we should observe what did we get from that. Thus we will evolve. If we do not learn from those experiences, then those experiences also were a waste. We did the same thing again and again, and we didn't get pleasure. And next time you may think that if I do it more vigorously, or I will get more pleasure out of it. You had let me eat this and this nice delicious thing, and that will bring pleasure to me. What happened? Well, that eating was over. The pleasure also was gone. Again, the hunger remained. Again, the desire, more intense desire remained. So, this observation should tell us that they were really not what you were seeking. and thus evolve. Experience is really experience if you evolve. It is that somebody was appointed to a job because in the that resume that person had written that that person has 20 years of experience of doing that work. And then the employer saw after a few days that so many mistakes are being made at that work. How per 25 years of experience or how can? So the experience there, what was happening was for 25 years that person was repeating the same mistake over and over again, had become expert in making those mistakes. So that is the experience. So it is, can we call this experience? It is not an experience at all. It is just getting into the rut of making that one mistake again and again. So we make mistakes, that is understandable, but we waste those mistakes if we do not get educated from that. So making mistakes is not bad. One should, everybody makes mistakes, but let us learn from them and at least make new mistakes. Why repeat the same mistakes over and over again? Let us be at least wise to do some other mistakes, you know, that will give you better experience. Why make the same mistake over and over again? So Lord points out here that most people do not come to me, do not come to God, because they are short-sighted and keep on looking after or running after the small things. And Sri Ramakrishna used to tell a story that in India, you know, there are those lot of mice who eat the grains. There are those grain storages. You know, farmers, they store the grain. But if the mice get into that grains, then they eat a lot of, almost the whole this thing is spoiled by them. So to prevent the mice from getting into the those stores, what they do is around that storage they spread some these fried those call that pop things, you know, those popcorns or something, and which have lot of flavor. So the mice just they get busy with those things because they have lot of flavor. Immediate results are there, you know. So they get busy with those, and the main stock of grain remains intact. So those mice do not get the main stock because they are busy with such trifles around. Those trifles, they have big fragrance, they have lot of attraction. So we also run after those, like those mice, run after those trifles and forget about the real big storage that we need to seek. So Lord says that that is why people are busy in these things. They do not know that there is something beyond. So the idea is we have to evolve. It is not wrong to aspire for something in the world. Yes, aspire for that, but learn from that. That what did you get? Now analyze then that what you got is, was it worth the efforts? Was it really giving you satisfaction? Now, do you feel satisfied in life because you got it? If not, then move on from there. Let the goals be higher and higher in life. And that is the evolution. So that we will discuss this idea in the next verse of this this chapter. The
we saw the 13th verse. Now we will come to 13th verse, that it is, Lord says, the works are to be done therefore as I do. I also do works. Look, I do works, you also do work. I do all big works, but I do not do any work. Although I do lot of works, at the same time I do not do any work. So this is a very intriguing idea, doing and not doing. It is, we will study this in the next class. For example, I am giving a talk. If I analyze, am I giving? What is happening? These lips, they are moving, the lungs are moving, the body is doing something, the body is moving. I am not doing any work. The mind is creating thoughts and all that. I am not the mind, I am not the body, I am not doing any work at all. So, although I am doing some work, yet I am not doing anything at all. So, this is a wonderful principle to understand our ever steady, immovable nature that does not participate in any action whatsoever. It doesn't do anything. It is always unchanging, unmoved, and yet its manifestation moves in all different actions that we see. So that idea we will study in our next class. Any questions? We will conclude with the closing prayers. गीता सुगीता कर्तव्या किमन्यत् शास्त्र विस्तरैः या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्र गीतम् एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मन्त्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।